This teaching is from City Church Coventry. You can find us online at www.citychurchcoventry.org.
You can open your Bible to Psalm 16. Now, some of you may know that that I have a little game, and Chris often plays this game as well. Can we find a new passage to lead communion from? Can we find a reference, often a very oblique reference to the covenant meal somewhere in the scripture? And I have to say, I found this one by mistake, because God took me to Psalm 16 many times over the last few weeks, and I felt that there was something he wanted to say to us from this passage. And as I was reading from verse 5, mostly from verse 5 and 6, but I'm going to read from 5 to 8. It took a few times. When I'd read it a few times, I suddenly realized there was a reference to the communion table here, to the covenant meal. So Psalm 16, verse 5 to 8, this is the NIV. Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. Did you see it? You alone are my portion. And in Hebrew, the word portion there, first of all, references a portion of food. That's literally what it means. A portion, you are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. And I believe that God wants to speak to us, speak a word over this year, and say that this is a year for each of us individually and for us corporately of spaciousness. Yeah, one of the legacies of COVID, one of the legacies of lockdown, is everyone seems to have lost capacity. Yeah, have you noticed that? Have you experienced that? I believe that that is not of God. I believe that God, who is our portion and our cup, if he is our portion and our cup, we find that we have an abundance. We have more than we need. We have spare capacity. We live in a spacious place. What does it say? You alone are my portion and my cup. So here's for me the key. And this is what I want us to think of as we come round the table this morning. And we just sang, I just asked Simon, sing that second verse another time. Whom have I in heaven beside you? There is none I desire but you. You see, this is the key, I believe, for us to live in increased capacity, with room to spare, with time to spare, with energy to spare, with money to spare, to live a spacious 2024, is to say, you alone. You alone are my portion and my cup. You see, there are many places we can go to receive what we think we need to get through life. Yeah, you can work really hard and get paid more money, and you can buy things with your money, but it's not going to give you what God has got, what God wants for you. It's not going to give you the spaciousness that comes from the life of the Spirit that flows from this table. This table says more than enough. In a very profound way, because Jesus, his body was broken. His blood was shed, but there was more than enough life in him because he came back to life. He had a superabundance of life because even in death, he was still more powerful than all of sin and death. Even in death, he said, I lay down my life and I take it up again. When did he take it up again? While he was dead. While he was dead, he took up again his life. You see, even in death, he had more life than the rest of the world put together. Even in death, he had more life than the powers of darkness put together. Even in death, he had more resource than every resource of the universe put together. That's what we come to celebrate this morning. Look what it says here. When we say you alone, what are we saying? You alone are my cup and my portion. First of all, you make my lot secure. It's kind of interesting language. It makes me think of kind of like a lockup with some palisade fences and chains around the thing. You know, I've got a secure lot. I don't think that's the image the Bible's going for. I think it's saying we live in a really secure place. And what we have is securely ours. What God has given us is ours. It's our inheritance. It belongs to us. Psalm 100 verse 3 says, we are the sheep of his pasture. Isaiah 61 verse 3 says, we are oaks of righteousness planted by the Lord. Where you are, where God has placed you, what he has given you is from him. That's one of the keys to living in abundance, to believe that what you have, you've received from the Lord. And then it says, the boundary lines have fallen in a pleasant place for me. I don't know whether it was last summer or the summer before, but Paula preached and talked a lot about boundary lines. It was excellent. You should go and check that out. But when we have a confidence that where I am and what God has placed around me is from him, it gives us this attitude of this is a good place. This is a good thing. What others might see as constrictions and constraints, we say, no, this is the provision of God to me. I have all that I need. And then it says, I have a delightful inheritance. I don't know if you're anything like me, but occasionally, just occasionally, you wish for things you don't have. Anyone here ever wished for things they don't have? Anyone had that experience on Christmas morning? You wish for things you don't have. But you know, there's something powerful in saying this. I have a delightful inheritance. That what God has given me brings me delight. What God has given me brings me satisfaction. What God has given me brings me joy. There's a quote that I've mangled a few times, but I looked it up to get it right today, from Elizabeth Elliot. She said, God has promised to supply our needs. What we don't have now, we don't need now. God has promised to supply all our needs. So what we don't have now, we don't need now. Learning to live and say, my inheritance is delightful. I know I'm a co-heir with Christ. I know I have a share in everything. And what I have now is exactly what God thinks I need now. My inheritance is delightful. I am satisfied in what? In him alone. He is my portion. I'm not going looking for another table to eat from. I'm not looking for another cup to drink from. This is my portion and my cup. The Lord is my portion and my cup. I will delight in him. He alone is my portion and my cup. I've quoted this to you before, but I love this verse in Leviticus 23, verse 22. When you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Leave them for the poor and for the foreigner residing among you. I am the Lord your God. You know, this is a principle that applies in our lives today as much as it did in the law when it was given. That what is within our inheritance, that what is within our boundaries, that what is within your field is more than you need. God always provides more than we need. And he says, you don't need to go and try and suck every last bit of resource out of what I've given you, because it's intended that some of it is to give away. It's what Simon was saying this morning. Where's he gone? He's up there somewhere. What Simon was saying this morning about being the... Oh, there he is. He's right there. Sorry, I thought I'd seen you moving. About being provision for others. Yeah? We are provision for others. Why? Because God says, I've put more in your field than you need. I've put more in your cup than you need. I've put more in your portion than you can possibly eat all by yourself. Why has he done that? But one, he wants us to learn that life is supposed to be spacious. There is supposed to be spare capacity in our lives. Now, this is partly a word for us to check ourselves, because if we want to enjoy this, we need to make sure we're not running after things that God hasn't called us to go after. We're not trying to reap right to the edge of the field. We're not trying to drain every last drop from the cup. We're not trying to go and meet our needs and our perceived needs and desires from somewhere else. But we're saying, you alone. And it's a good thing at the start of the year to check what we're doing with our lives and say, is all of this what God has called me to? Because God can be making space in your life and you can be filling it up with activity. And he says, that's not what it's... There's always supposed to be spare capacity. You're not supposed to get to the edge of the field. You're not supposed to get to the bottom of the cup. You're not supposed to eat the last crumb of bread. There's more than enough. It's a spacious life that this table gives us. a life of spare capacity, a life of abundance. Abundance, I believe, is defined this way: all that I need and more beside, all that I need and some to give away. That's abundance. That's how God wants us to live. And it's not just talking about finance. It can be talking about your mental capacity. I had someone ask me recently. It was someone that was relatively new in ministry, and they said, "How do you make sure that you can, you know, how do you respond to all the demands, all the sudden demands that come upon church leaders, without burning out?" And I said, "Well, one of the key things is to make sure that your diary is never completely full." You know, so there's always spare capacity, because there will always be a demand that you hadn't foreseen. And that's true for all of us, not just true in church leadership. But as ministers of the gospel, there will always be unforeseen demands on you. You look through the book of Acts, you look through the gospels, that the apostles experienced that all the time. Jesus experienced that all the time. Why did they have capacity to deal with it? Because they didn't fill every hour with stuff. There was time when they went and they were a time alone with the Lord. There was time resting. Yeah, there was capacity in their life. So we have a decision to make as well. If I want to live a spacious life, I need to maybe be a little bit ruthless with my diary. I need to be a little bit ruthless with what I give my time to. And I need to say, Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. And I want to make sure I'm not trying to eat someone else's portion or drink out of someone else's cup. I will make the space. Remember when, was it Roger Aubrey that was here and he said... No, it was Ian Jones, wasn't it? Give the Holy Spirit something to work with. I'm looking at Chris Hamer Hodges because I know he's quoted it back. Was it Ian? It was Roger. Oh, okay. I knew you quoted it. So give the Holy Spirit something to work with. Give the Holy Spirit something of your life, something of your time, something of your energy, something of your headspace. Yes, something of your material resource, but give him something to work with. Don't have the opportunity come and go, oh, I'm already over capacity. This is a spacious table. This is a table that creates space for God to work in our lives. And the final thing I want to say before we take the bread and the wine, so guys, maybe if you can start passing the bread and wine around, that would be great now. When you receive it, just hold it and we'll take it together in a moment. The final thing I want to say is that God is very generous with his portions. God is generous with his portions. I've not seen this for a while, but there used to be a restaurant on the edge of Hinckley called, I think it was called the Hungry Horse. And in the Hungry Horse, all the items on the menu had a regular portion, and then they also offered the Hungry Man portion. It's in back in the days before gender equality. They offered a Hungry Man portion. And you know what? God's portion is way bigger than a Hungry Man portion. It's not just a few extra chips and an extra sausage. God's portion is an abundant portion. In reality, it comes from an infinite supply. It will never run out. And as this comes around this morning, you're getting a small portion of wine and you're getting a small portion of bread. But it speaks of something unlimited. It speaks of a God of limitless resource, whose portion is enough for you and for many of those around you. This cup is the cup of eternal life, unlimited, uncreated, never ceasing, continuing forever, life. Life that is stronger than all sin, death, and corruption. Life that ultimately will transform and transfigure the whole of the universe by the blood of Jesus. This is what we're coming to receive this morning. We're going to take the bread and the wine together in just a moment, and then I'm going to ask you just to gather with those around you and actually... We'll do some of what the Holy Spirit has been telling us to do, which is to give thanks and just to give thanks for something. Just look at that verse with me if you have your Bible open. Psalm 16, verse 5. First two words, you alone. You alone. And I want to encourage you right now to take the bread and to take the cup And just between you and Jesus, you say you alone. I'm just going to give thanks. And when I've done that, I want to invite you to take the bread and the wine. And you, just between you and the Lord, you say to him again, you alone are my portion and my cup. Jesus, we thank you for the wonderful provision you made for us in making a new covenant to bring us into eternal life, an eternal life bond with your heavenly Father. Lord, we are so grateful. We are so grateful for your death. We're so grateful for your resurrection. We're so grateful for your life poured out for us day after day after day. And Lord, we receive this with grateful hearts. Amen. You alone, my portion and my cup.
Thanks for listening to this teaching from City Church Coventry. You can find more great teaching and other resources on our website at www.citychurchcoventry.org.